presents the Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
And instead of a song, we have been giving the time of the fantastic Brendan Burns. A round of applause for him, please.
Oh, hi, hi, hello.
Hi, I know we've only got you for a very short time. So
yeah, I've
got
to go to another gig, I'm sorry.
No, no, fair enough. Have you been next door with Mark?
I have, but it smells more in here.
Oh, wow. No.
The seat really feels of ass, and it smells of crisps. And person. Does everyone say that when they come in?
Yeah, it's the uptown
beginning
stank.
Yeah,
so by now I'm being the tedious guy that you has had to listen to every guest say it really smells in here.
No, you're about the second.
Ooh.
Psych.
Jinx.
Thank you. Yeah.
That sounded like you were borderline harmonising.
I think we're beginning to sync up.
Well, there's only two subjects, basically, we keep going back to.
Die Hard 5.
And Ghostbusters.
Hey, no. Have you seen Mad Max 2?
I can't.
Recently?
What, the film?
The film?
Yeah.
It's the most illegal film in history.
How so?
Because there's no way it would get made today.
No,
well, the first one.
Well, it's brilliant.
You say that, but have you seen the trailer for Mad Max Fury Road?
Yeah, but that's all CG.
That's all CGI. Wait.
No, take it.
Okay, so first of all, the first one was shot on the outskirts of Melbourne, and it's just guys driving around really fast. He paid everyone with slabs of beer. They never expected it to be that huge. They offered Mel Gibson a cut of the film or the car, and he went, this thing's never going to go anywhere. It's a piece of... Oh, by the way, are you internet radio or general radio?
Where all you like.
Okay, piece of shit, right? And look how much older I'm getting. I check.
It's very
good. So then the second one is just an insurance nightmare. And if you play the drinking game the base of the film, the premise is it's a post-apocalyptic nightmare, right? Based on what? They're low on fuel.
That's now.
So according to Mad Max 2, we should all be gay bikers in the desert, like throwing boomerangs at each other. But the thing is... The entire film, they waste petrol. You can play a drinking game called Drink Every Time They Waste Petrol. My mate made a joke, actually, and said Mad Max 2 is they just stuck up CCTV cameras in the Australian outback and filmed for exactly 2 hours. They set fire to it. They use it as a weapon. They spend nights doing burnouts. He has a car that uses nitro, which burns through it. And then the big twist at the end is they drive a truck full of sand, right, huge waste of petrol, as a decoy, right, and go back and watch the film, this will blow your fucking minds, right, is they've got an oil refinery filled with oil and fuel, they blow that
yeah,
up
they do.
For the sake of killing two fucking guys, and then they're going, oh, you know what, I've seen this postcard from paradise, it's miles away,
it's Queensland, it's 3 hours away.
And then, so they got all their fuel, go and watch the film. There's 4 barrels in the back of the bus. And apparently, they're gonna sum it up large in Queensland because they got 4 barrels of petrol left.
So that's basically saying it's the promised land and they should just all keep still.
And everyone got injured.
Yeah.
It's an insurance nightmare. There's no way that movie gets covered now.
No way.
There's a guy that broke every bone in his body.
Yeah.
The gyroscope.
Guy, yeah.
Well, that whole exploitation, they call it, don't they? That whole scene. They're some of the most ruthless filmmaking of all
time. Yeah, there's
a
great documentary on that as well, which is a beautiful thing to behold.
They just kill people. They just go to blow the fucker up.
They do. They go, look, it's the outback, toughen up.
Yeah.
Amazing. What are you? Get up, you fucking girl.
How lax can we treat the human beings on this set?
And I think it's actually Mad Max is where Mel Gibson learned his rather sensitive attitude to the gay community.
Yeah, the roots were so pretty early on.
I love that film though, you know.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Right? You go back and watch it, it will blow your mind. You'll go, there's no way this gets made!
So where do you stand on 3 then? The Tina Turner one.
Oh, come on.
That thing's a national disgrace.
Australians were very upset.
It was reported that on the news.
Did they?
It did, on the news, going, Mad Max goes all fucking Hollywood.
Because they do just substitute cars for children film.
They just toss kids in.
Yeah, they do. Tina Turner and kids.
I have not seen this film, and I'm very confused about what you're talking about.
I don't think you need to know any more about Beyond the Thunderdome.
They
burn
children in order to keep them.
Well, I think it's what, two men enter, one man leaves. That's where that all
stems
from.
It's a dwarf standing on a giant.
Yeah.
Or sitting on top of a giant.
You guys have been up too long.
No, this is real. This is real.
This is fictional, but real fiction.
Mad Max 1, they literally, he paid people in slabs of beer, cartons of beer, so 24 cans of beer, to drive around the outskirts of Melbourne at like 100 miles an hour, and they just smash into shit. You look at it, and you're like, this is, you know, obviously pre-CGI, and you do find yourself just going, oh, wow, they've just got a car and driven it into another car.
It's brilliant.
Oh, there's no way that gets covered now. No way that movie. Well, the remake is going to be nothing like it.
Yeah. Is it a remake or is it going to be an extension of that universe? Because it seems like it's
a remake.
It's not a remake, is it? I mean, just because they've cast Tom Hardy.
It's a remake.
It's called Mad Max.
It's called Mad Max. It's all girls, just to irritate.
Yeah, because Charlize Theron's in it.
Is she?
Yeah, she plays a one-armed, crazy skinhead lady in a truck.
Does she bring her South African accent back?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, the thing is, the Brits, unfortunately, you know, jumping in and replaying all these roles. You've got Tom Hardy playing Mad Max now. Obviously, we've got a Brit playing Superman. There's a Brit playing Spider-Man and a Brit playing Batman. And I think that's bang out of order.
We used to be proper evil, and that's where we should be.
We need to get the diehard Alan Rickman back.
Oh, God, do we? Anyway, sorry. I've got a bit of a thing for Alan Rickman. He's just got sexiest voice. Yeah, a bit like that, but sexy.
A bit like that, but sexy.
A bit less Brian Blessed.
Yeah, although Brendan is rocking the most gorgeous beard at the moment. It's beautiful.
I had to dye it.
Beautiful.
Because,
did you?
Yeah, you wake up one morning and you're just the old fuck. And like you get older, and then it's like a split second instant. And I was gigging at the Electric Cinema in Birmingham, and the harshest thing about it was the kid wasn't being rude. That's when it hurts the most. And my beard was grey, and it's not out of vanity. It's because I'm a happily married man, and I think it's, well, I'll tell you the story. And so I turn up, and the kid wasn't being rude at all. And he goes, oh, you're rocking a beard. All right, you've let it grow out. You look a bit different from your photos. And I said, yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I've got a beard now. And he goes, well, I suppose Rolf's been locked up, hasn't he?
Fucking hell.
And I went, ow. Like, he wasn't fucking with me at all. He was like, oh, you've got the grey beard. Rolf's been locked up. You don't have to be compared to him. No, he was not being mean.
Was he suggesting one in, one out with the whole how many Australians can have beards?
I have no idea. But then I realised it's probably too big an ask to expect my wife to root Rolf. So I thought I'll go and dye it.
I think you made the right choice.
Yeah.
So what did you get up to next door with Mark?
Not a lot, actually. I think I've just been sitting on the outskirts watching people jumping up and down.
Yeah, I just heard the craziest stuff going on, because we are literally in a bubbly and we just hear weird stories, like they're reenacting a light-hearted edition of Saw on stage. It's like one guy was like, I don't think I've done enough for my fundraising. And I was like, well, what did you do? I just had a bike taped to my back for 11 hours. I think, no, you've done enough.
Sean Robertson.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, no, you've done enough, mate. You can go home and quite rightly take painkillers.
Yeah.
He was like in agony.
Robertson had a bike taped to him.
I believe so, yeah.
What? Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
He was going to do it for 24 hours, but then it actually really started to hurt.
Yeah.
And he's into S&M.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that everyone went... Yeah, I know. It's like I was worried about outing him. And then it was like, no, he talks about it all the time.
He does. He came to do my show, The Z-List Deadlist, and he basically, it was about fingering somebody, the majority of it. So.
Oh, yeah, he told me that story.
Yes.
Is that S&M?
He can't keep his even own secrets.
Oh, well, no, I thought fingering was pretty normed school.
It's more of a case that when he arrived at a club, and I'm going to butcher his story completely, he arrives at a club, he meets a beautiful lady, he starts speaking to her, and she says, sorry, just a moment, this man's fingering me.
Yeah. So, it was that kind of club.
It was that kind of club.
And apparently he said, and it was a creepy bloke. And I was like, it's a fetish club. You're all the creepy bloke.
They're sex people.
I actually once got a walkout at a fetish expo. Because of the nature of my act, there's a few people that are into weird stuff on our industry, and they presume because of my act that I'm going to be the same. And I'm not. I live on a farm. I'm a bit country, to be honest. I could wield an axe. I know how to change a tyre. Hey,
there you go.
What happened to men? Anyway.
It's a very good question.
And I got booked by a comedian that was into that sort of thing.
That's a very niche night.
If you ever go to a fetish expo, they all hate each other.
Do they?
All find each other's fetishes disgusting. They are repulsed. They are the most bigoted people towards one another's fetishes. It's so weird. And there was I think I did a joke. It was an AIDS joke or something, and it was something about here's a tip: next time you're in prison and you're just about to be sexually assaulted, just go, ah, shit, what a week, first AIDS and now this, right? And this guy in a Hitler outfit went, you're disgusting, and stormed out.
Wow.
The act before me whipped a woman in the face. And I was like, and the thing is, I mean, call it condescending, but I still come from an era where chivalry isn't dead. And so I see a man whipping a woman in the face, and there's guys in the audience going, yeah, nice, right? I'm trying to fight every bone in my body not to punch them all out and go, what are you doing? But then, you know, I realised that I didn't understand something because I saw how tender they were with one another, and she was into it, whatever. There's a weird thing going on there that I don't comprehend. But at the same time, it was still... a guy whipping a woman in the face.
I do jiu-jitsu, so I'm the only girl in my dojo, and I just regularly just have just men on top of me.
What's your guillotine like?
Pretty crap. I'm really bad.
Are you excited about this weekend?
I wasn't, actually.
What's happening this weekend?
Kat Zingano versus Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey, who I absolutely adore, but yeah. I hate her. But
why?
She's a because she's a bit of a bitch, you know.
She is the Muhammad Ali of feminism.
She's amazing, isn't she?
Was Muhammad Ali like all? Always appreciate.
They complained
about her sportsmanship. Yeah. Was Muhammad Ali being sportsmanlike as he stood over Cassius Clay?
No,
was he being sportsmanlike as he punched that?
But she does sort
all
of take things.
Love and war, right?
Yeah, well, I suppose so. And believe me, she can say whatever she likes about anybody because she will break them. It's armbar every single time. It's just armbar.
Every woman in the UFC is a feminist icon. No one gave them a goddamn thing. Everyone told them they couldn't make it. And when you watch women. Fights because I'm going to leave on this, so I'm sorry to talk to you.
No.
It's because no one talks about the fact that they're watching women's MMA like they do when they're watching women's soccer or anything like that.
Yeah.
They were told for years that they couldn't and that people felt that the competition wasn't enough. And the thing is, there's never been a bad women's fight in the UFC because the guys, sometimes there's so much ego and bravado and smack talking beforehand, they get in the ring and they choke because they haven't let their real emotions out. They show the Ultimate Fighter series with the women, and there's some sort of like old dad in me. I actually bumped into two of the girls from Ultimate Fighter in Los Angeles, and I nearly said the creepiest thing in my life. I nearly went, if I was your dad, I'd be so proud of you girls. Which is, you know, better than lecherous.
The intention's pure, but the execution of it isn't so much.
Yes, but you watch the Ultimate Fighter series with the women, and it's brilliant. But the thing is, they never hold anything in. They cry before they get...
Yeah. Oh, really?
They say that they're frightened, everything. And then someone locks the cage, and they fight until someone has to stop one of them. They're animals. They are just beasts, and they go at one another.
It's all business.
It's all business. That's no one beautiful. Chokes. No woman chokes in the ring, in the octagon.
They're very, very... I mean, Ronda is amazing as well.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's a judo Olympic champion, isn't she?
She is, yes, she is.
And she basically... Like, I think she got a woman in under 20 seconds or something.
16.
16 seconds. There you go. You know your stuff. Look
I am
you.
A big fan of women's MMA.
Hey, that sounds really creepy, but I'm really happy you are. It's
no,
good.
There's something about, like, when you get older and there's just some sort of, like, you go, girls! But without it being kind of, like, you know, some bloke professing to be a feminist.
Girl power.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
Shit.
No, you know, when, a,
well, really
when a guy declares himself a feminist, like, I consider myself... Really, you want to steal that from them too, you greedy cunt? Like, what the... Oh, you'd have to blank the C-bomb.
No. I got it. We had a chat last night with a wrestler, a guy called EC3. I'm not au fait on that. But
I'm aware of him.
He actually let an F-bomb go. And he's like, oh, can I say that on the air? I'm just really sorry. And I was like, no, it's fine. It's uncensored. We can do the F-word, the C-word. The C word, yeah, you can say cunt if you want. he was, and this is the wrestler. This is the man who.
But it's American.
But they completely.
Yeah. No, because it means something more in America.
It does. Yeah. It's not chummy.
It's like what a gangster says to a woman.
Yeah, it's much worse.
It refers to a woman, whereas here it's pretty much a bloke.
If you saw a guy call
a woman a cunt in the street, it'd be fucking on.
Yeah.
You'd probably punch the guy in the head.
Yeah. But I just think it took him back. There's that casuality use of it.
Yeah.
Is casuality a word?
No.
Fucking hell.
Yes, it is.
Is it?
But am I using it in the right context?
Yes,
at
you
this
are.
Point,
casuality.
I'm getting convalesce and
casualness. Where are you going? Casualness?
Let's just agree that I have been awake for too long, for talking for too long, and anything I say at this point is a boon. All right?
Ooh, a boon!
Yeah.
An enormous boon!
Yes.
With that, I'm going to have to tap out.
Thank you very much.
I'm sorry,
thank
you stopping so much, but I thought I'd be...
That's cool. No. By the way, there you go. Take
oh,
that.
It's
there
all business.
I know. Well, in case he wants to do my podcast ever, because
should.
It is Brendan Burns, you don't get to stay in the studio.
I will,
long.
Of course.
Have a listen.
Have a
think.
I have my own podcast now as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, plug
everyone's
it.
In it.
The Brendan Burns Show.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
It's
man.
Basically me bombing. It's me talking, arguing with myself.
I am living it right now.
No, I like playing footage of me not doing well.
Right.
All right, sweet man.
Other stuff around the world. Blah, 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 blah.
All right. Did they get you to sign the thing before on the way?
Yes, I did. Thank
you very much. Thank you very much. Say cheers. Have a good gig.
Hey.
Oh, let's take a little quick break because I need to have a thought moment. So this is Bruce McCullough from Kids in the Hall with a song called Never Trust. Hello, welcome back to the show.
That was slick as fuck, mate.
I'm still here. I'm still here, Paul. I'm still here for you.
Usually at this point, I would say, here's the link, but it's better than that. Here's the trailer.
FUBAR Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
Oh, and welcome back to the dying embers of the 27-Hour Podcast Radio
the last six
Challenge
hours,
Comic
I wouldn't
Relief.
Call that the dying hour embers. It's the last 6 hours.
Why are you so tall?
I've decided to elevate myself, so you pay attention to me. What's happened to us?
This is what we call cabin fever. We're on a room that smells like a combination of wank socks and hopeless, needless despair.
It's a funky stank in here, that's for sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the smell.
No, it's interesting.
But once you're in here...
It still smells. No, no, no.
You will get used
it's kind
to
of, it. It's a bit like
you
the
will.
Somme.
The Somme?
Yeah, that's what it smells
as in
like.
Battle of the...
As in Battle of
oh,
the
good.
Somme.
Oh, good. So not at some point we're all going to have a peace treaty and play football.
Oh, possibly. No, 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 you didn't play football at the Somme. Somme was
the
after
The Somme was not...
I've got to stop referencing history when you're
I'm
in
sorry.
The room. I keep forgetting that's the fatal flaw. We also have with us... Introduce yourself, sir. Who are you?
My name's Ian Smith. I've broken the mic phone. But
can we have the producer
that,
in here? We've got
a
broken
time.
Mic.
Alert, emergency.
I could just stick it back on.
Stick it back on.
But can you stick
I've dealt with the situation. It's all
stick
right.
Pop,
I've just broken the microphone.
He's just
it's
taking
okay.
bits
and
off.
And it's fine to me.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's all right now.
Yeah.
False alarm, really. I'm just trying to create some tension and like a plot twist
doesn't
in the
need
room.
Any more
it's
tension.
Good. I like it. A bit of narrative.
Thank you, mate.
We need a bit of M Night right now, don't we?
M Night Shyamalan.
Yeah. I shouted so hard, I have dots all around my eyes.
You
right
need
now.
To take it easy, mate.
I'm trying to. I've had quite a lot of cigarettes and coffee. Not eating particularly well. And right now, my brain says, be professional. My heart says, there's a knife in the kitchen.
What, are you going to stab me? You're going to stab me with it? I've been trying to help you with your fucking show.
When did your relationship deteriorate? No, because I've just come in and this is it's not healthy
this
what the two
like
of you are doing to each other.
This is 3 minutes into the Geekatorium.
Yeah,
this is normal.
This was several years ago we reached this level.
It's a beautiful mutual understanding and hate.
It's basically, like if you've been to see the Geekatorium, it's Paul presenting and hosting, talking about nerdy things. And every time he gets a fact wrong or every time he does a really crap joke, which is quite often.
Often.
Eli will just look at the audience and shake his head and get a massive laugh.
You know what?
It's difficult for him to do that
you
today,
really
isn't
it? Out there.
It's negative space comedy.
It is.
You laugh at what's not there.
Yeah.
And I think we've pioneered that. So, you know, step back.
It's a good old romp, is the
Geekatorium. So, I love it. This is the thing. Obviously, we're not doing it tomorrow.
No.
I'm so glad for that. Although, I have been told... We are, when we do it in April, where Frankie Boyle was doing an hour before us. So,
oh, okay.
he might...
You might
do
stick around, you reckon?
Yeah.
You reckon?
Yeah, he seems
keen for it. What's he geeky about?
Doesn't matter.
I comic, he's a big, big comic book fan.
Yeah, is he?
Okay.
He's written his own comic books.
Has he?
Yeah, I'm just going to add facts every now and then if you don't mind.
That's good.
They don't have to be accurate facts.
They are, though.
What, the facts? No, yeah. By all means. But if you want to slip a few risque ones in, or, you know... Okay.
What temperature does water boil on the surface of the moon?
Ooh. 4. T, 5 degrees.
No, you don't know that one.
It must be almost instantly.
Yeah, it boils quick, doesn't it? Yeah.
What, on the moon?
Yeah,
because the gravity...
Water on
the
moon. Boils instantly on the moon.
It depends if it's in the sun or not.
There is ice on the moon.
Is there ice on the moon? Then it can't boil instantly.
Is there ice on the moon? Because I think that's wrong. I thought Mars has some ice caps. There isn't water on the moon.
There is water in the soil.
It's not soil. Why is this regolith? It's regolith.
Oh, whatever they call it up there.
It's like talcum powder.
Yeah, in the stuff that moon that's lying around.
Do you know what's
there?
Also there? Massive viruses
on the moon.
Yeah,
how do you know viruses?
All of these things, because I think there's a lot of speculation in this room and not a lot of
facts.
Concentration.
You can tell the pool starred because he didn't pick up on a Doctor Who reference. That was amazing.
He doesn't watch Doctor Who. We have Ned Fountain in, and we were talking about Doctor Who. The first thing he goes, "Oh, I'm not sticking around for this shit." And it's like you talking about 24 again, and storms out.
Mummy, Daddy, stop fighting.
Yeah, it is.
So, Phil, have you?
Mummy and Daddy love each other very much, but we're going through a very difficult time right now, and you're not helping.
Phil, can I ask? Have you been doing stuff in the Mark Watson?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah, is that not your name?
No, my name's not Phil.
No,
you were doing all the right things in terms
of eye
contact.
I've been out a long time.
And I was like, I think I should be answering this, but
what's your name, mate?
Ian. Ian.
Ian. Sorry.
Ian Smith. I'm pretty sure. But I can't remember where we
One of the wittiest Ian. People I know.
Ian.
Thank you.
And that's...
I beg your pardon.
No, that's okay, mate.
So, Ian.
Yes, mate.
Have you been doing stuff next door with Mark?
No, I haven't. I haven't done anything for charity all year.
Well, now you're doing something for charity.
Yeah, oh, is this for charity?
Yes, yeah. Please donate.
For fuck's sake.
This has to be for charity because no other reason would we want to do this. Let's be honest, now or ever again. Let's just agree right now.
What? Never do this again?
Never do it with you again.
Oh.
No, you know what?
Oh, fuck
Seriously.
You!
This is.
Oh, look, they're actually getting
they're
quite
hugging,
manly.
I couldn't have got through this
unzipping
without
jeans.
Mr.
We haven't got through it yet.
No.
Paul.
You've still got to get through
Forgive me for offering hope.
No, that's good. I like it.
Someone says that we're glad we've got through this, like in a film, and there's 10 minutes left, one of them's going to die.
Yeah.
And we've got fucking 5 hours.
This podcast is slowly becoming 128 hours directed by Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
It's going to be a really graphic arm-severing scene.
Excellent.
Oh, dude. How are things?
Things are good. Things are good. I'm basically working on my... What?
Sorry, how are things is a really vague question.
It's the best question to be given.
But it gives you a good free rein.
Exactly.
Last night... Yeah. Nick Revels here. We have the most amazing, deep conversation about the nature of satire, comedy, conspiracy, public perception. Really, really cool, in-depth chat. And now it's just like, yeah, how you doing? You all right?
Did you come to the conclusion that satire actually helps dictatorships more than it doesn't?
No, we didn't cross that.
That's a conclusion I will reach.
Now we've got a fucking topic.
Citation needed?
Basically, the idea is that the more you take the mick out of something and bring it to people's attention, they think, oh, that's dealt with, and then you don't
it's like that.
But do people look at a cartoon and think, right, that's that situation in Syria fucking murked up?
I think they do, because they're sort of, really? Oh, at least
it's being addressed. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting, No, because it's similar to the idea that, you know, there's no real debate, that you get a lot of discussion, but in a very narrow political margin.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean? Mm. The two parties, for example, aren't that far apart, but they debate like hell, and it means that nothing outside of those two... nothing in a wider range.
But that's not satire, is it? That's politics.
But
it's a similar idea, isn't it?
You're allowed to do that in conversations. Yeah. You're allowed to move on.
I think you've got to really exhaust something until it's utterly...
It's the whole idea that Western democracy sort of it absorbs dissent, basically, because it deals with it. Yeah,
that's
I know what you're saying. Yeah.
That's basically what you want to do. But anyway, so yeah, satire. But I'm not really a satirist because all of the satire I write is about stuff that happened in the 1300s. Current.
Is there a term for satire for things that happened hundreds of years ago?
Yeah, old.
I thought we could term a new thing today.
Yeah, it's satired. like you are right now. Look at that.
Satire.
Ye olde.
So
ye olde. Can I just say that? Ye olde?
Yeah.
It's not adding much.
Annoyingly, the word like ye and that sort of thing, because it's spelt with a Y, that's actually
the,
a TH. Yeah. It's actually a TH. It's just how they spelt TH. It's with a Y.
So it'd be the old.
Yeah. All you're doing is the oldie.
What about the E at the end of the oldie?
I think that was there, but it's probably the way they pronounce old, so it was like old rather than old.
Old.
So they probably used to spell it A-U-L-D. It's old. Amazing. Old English, right? This is my favourite thing. I've been reading Marjorie Kemp's autobiography. She's the first person to write an autobiography.
Have I walked into like the wrong thing?
Yeah.
What's the theme of this?
I don't even know. I've not walked into the wrong thing at this point.
Who's Marjorie Kemp?
Marjorie Kemp, right? She's basically this really upper self sort of nun person type wife lady back in like, you know, the 14th century.
Sounds like a
dick. And she wrote, she was a bit. She's really boring. She wrote an autobiography, and it's the first autobiography in the English language.
Oh, really?
So, and
the arrogance
this is like,
of that.
Exactly. 600 years before Jordan, and she didn't even have nice tits. So, but in this...
Is there a record of her tits? I mean, how do
It'll
you know?
Be an engraving,
there are pictures of her. There are pictures of her, and it's like straight down, just nothing. Though it doesn't even admit to having breasts. It's quite upsetting. But there's bits in it, right, this autobiography, where you get interesting words. For example, like... Archbishop is spelled E-R-S-C-H-B-I-S-C-H-O-O-P. Archbishop.
But do you think that's just because she spelt it wrong?
I think possibly.
Because if she's the first person doing a book, I reckon she's just messed it up a few times.
Possibly.
And does it have like a picture bit in the middle? Like sports people's autobiographies do.
Occasionally, because it's all handwritten and stuff by like weird monks. It's cause that's basically what canon printers were in the olden days with monks. But canon? Oh, there's a joke there, isn't there? Because a canon bishop. No.
There's one somewhere, but we shouldn't concern ourselves.
I'm really boring. Okay, here's a fun fact for you, right?
He hosts the show and he's popping in and out of this fucking nun's autobiography.
He's been up for a long time.
He has stopped absorbing any kind of data from the world around him. He's just.
The fun fact I want to say is, do you know what the word sad means in Old English?
Happy? I did know this, but I'd rather it come from you.
It doesn't mean happy. What?
Coconuts.
No, it actually.
Oh no, go on. Let's
no, you can guess.
I thought sad was like a way something was built or
no.
Or no, all right. No.
Lopsided. Does it mean lopsided?
It doesn't. It means sober.
Crippled. Sober.
Sober, like the opposite of merry.
Oh.
So if you're talking about somebody who's sad, you're talking about somebody who has another point.
Oh.
Like you two.
Well, we are very sad. We'll be rectifying that sadness.
Yes, in 6 hours' time.
No.
It's
a bit sooner
pushy,
than that. Bit sooner.
Attitude to alcohol they had back in the day.
It was
like,
very much.
You're not drinking, like you're sad. And that's the kind of pressure that has got us to where we are today.
Yes.
Do you not drink?
I drink.
Okay.
I'm not saying it's a bad, I just... But I don't drink because someone says, Ian, you're sad. And I'm like, all right, I'll have a strong bowl. But I'll drink of my own. I never drink because someone accuses me of being depressed. I do it because I am.
Yeah,
and
I don't need any accusation.
What is your favourite drink?
I quite like an elderflower pressy.
I would say with your accent,
dandelion and burdock
good.
Is my favourite drink.
Oh,
wow.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's like...
I'm going to go along with that.
It's very refreshing.
I've made an opinion stick.
It's got burdock in it. I don't know what that is. It's got dandelions in it.
I don't think that drink has had dandelion or burdock in it for 100 years.
No. Flavourings.
The flavour. And it goes very nice with Jack Daniels.
It does too have dandelion and burdock. Of course, it's where do you think they got the dandelion and the burdock flavour from?
I'm guessing.
That's a good point.
I'm just going to make a little bit of space because I think I'm going to headbutt the desk. So, here.
Why? Why are you going to headbutt the desk?
He just
I'm just losing my shit. I think I'm beginning to hallucinate because the dots around my eyes aren't going.
Have a little lie down. I can do this. I can handle this.
There are a lot of white dots floating around the room, though, so that's not a concern.
Oh, right. Okay, that's cool. Then that's fine. As long as we're all seeing it.
Okay.
I don't have to start crying.
No.
Because I'll be honest, I'm feeling emotional. I really am. I'm at that point where all my emotions are tightened and honed so I can laugh hard, but it'll give them the right push.
Cry.
I'll cry. Who wants to try and make me cry?
Eli, I think, but I won't let him.
That's a crapshoot. No one wants that. That's a challenge.
Don't cry. No. Everything's good. Everything's fine.
You know what? For all the manicness of it all, this has been a truly beautiful experience.
Has it?
It's just been weird.
I think he's in denial.
He's in denial. It's been nightmarish.
Gillian Anderson.
We've been in
here.
A smelly room.
Ooh.
absorbing each other's so body odours.
Did Gillian Anderson come in?
Fecal particles.
Yeah, David Schneider.
And did you have this attitude with Gillian Anderson?
Oh, no.
Exactly.
It was like, oh,
they were on best behaviour.
No, we weren't, actually. I was a bit out of your throat.
Was I? A little bit.
Well, she was a bit at your throat.
She quite rightly picked me up on my pronunciation. It was a little bit too fast. She said, slow down. And I take that as an acting tip rather than a beration.
Yeah.
Beration?
I would have.
You're starting to see where you're going wrong.
Yeah, there. I know. I'm catching myself, but I'm still sticking with it.
That quite idea like this never comes. You are inventing. You're moving the language on, Paul.
I'm like that guy, the old Wimbly Wimbo guy. You remember?
Yeah.
Stanley Unwin.
There we go.
I feel like I've been brought up in a different fucking world to you.
it's the
Wimbly Wumbo guy, and you're now just accepting it. He's like, oh yeah, the Wimbly Wumbo guy.
Yeah,
he sounds like he's ill, and you've all just walked past him.
All by the wibbly wall. Can you imagine being his wife? Stanley Unwin, be like, oh, what you'll have for breakfast, love? Oh, I'll have some corn flaky wakies. You know what I mean?
Wait, I'll.
It sounds like Paddy McGuinness.
Yeah,
a bit like that, but funny.
But better.
Wait, I'll show you a clip of what he sounds like talking.
Yeah. Brilliant. This is brilliant. This is I'm so glad this came up.
Is this man ill, or is it like a character?
If you were today.
So, both.
Perhaps I'll be able to understand you if you talk slowly. Now, I'm sure it's my fault, but do me a favour, slowly.
I have, for many kroners, Olmsted and invested my cradle for him, and with all this trail, so I can follow through to
get. Fair enough, he is.
He's fucking great.
I think I've proved my point. Good night, everybody. Good night. It's been fun.
Who was the guy who did the voiceovers for Ribena? This is something I can get passionate about. The guy, I don't know whether he's dead, God rest him potentially, and he had about sort of four different lisps. He couldn't say, like, his B's and his S's and his T's.
It's sort of like, Ribena.
Oh, little berries. Like that kind of thing.
Oh, I know who you mean.
We all know, yeah.
I picture him in a field with
beard. Who is he, and is he dead?
Hang on, I'm looking for it now. It says Leslie Crowther on this one. That can't be right.
No. Leslie Crowther trying to claim the Ribena ad.
Now it's saying David Bellamy.
No, yes, it's David Bellamy.
Oh, Christ, that was aggressive.
David Bellamy, because he can't say his own name.
The underground.
Yeah, hence why I picture him in a field.
Yes, because he was a naturist.
Yeah. No, he's a naturalist.
Yeah. A naturalist.
Just dick out.
He may have been a naturalist as well. Get all the undergrowth.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to tell when you're that beardy.
Who did his impression of him? Lenny Henry.
He did the impression of everyone. He was a multifaceted skill.
No, but that was one of his good ones.
Yeah. Oh, all the undergrowth.
Have you seen that film where Lenny Henry undergoes plastic surgery and he
becomes white? Yeah. Yeah.
And I can't remember why. I think he's committed a crime, and he has to.
Yeah.
He has to. He's gets whited up. Isn't it?
That was his big, his big bid for Breaking America.
Yeah, his big Hollywood break, it was met with a wall of indifference.
I want to see that now.
Oh, it's the only funny thing in it, I think, is when they do the old reveal of him being whited up, and he kind of screams, and I mean that's as good as it gets.
Okay.
And it doesn't get very good.
The plot, as described on Internet Movie Database, says True Identity is about this: in order to escape from the mob, an African American man must disguise himself as a white man.
Nice.
I know, but this is the weird thing.
Yeah, it's one of the range of his acting.
Yeah, because in it he kind of pulls his Steve Martin impression at certain points, doesn't he? The Mrs. Doubtfire, he kind of getting the character right, and then he settles. Yeah, it's amazing what the 80s let us do.
Yes.
Well, I thought it was brilliant.
I don't think I've seen it since the 80s.
So True Identity.
Yeah,
No one's watched it twice.
I've never seen it.
Lenny Henry hasn't watched it twice.
It does sound like a warning from history rather than anything you should revisit.
Feel bad insulting Lenny Henry on. This is like his national day, really, isn't it?
No, that's next month, so we're all right tonight. We're off book.
Oh, that's okay.
So by the way, if you eat into the microphone, people will stab you.
Okay.
That's basically...
I wouldn't worry too much about it right now, because when Ashens came in, we were eating all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it, just because if I do it... I've done that on radio before.
Would you like to try his weird shortbread soft crumbly thing?
For
the purpose of listeners...
It's just been broken off.
He is handing a liquid tab.
Yeah, it does look like a liquid tab. And you say this is...
It's a kind of short,
pounded rice and...
It's nice.
Mystery.
Yeah, but it's kind of powdery.
Do you know what it is? It reminds me if you leave Horlicks for a while in the bottom of the thing.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. That is exactly what I was trying to get at before I lost my mind.
It's always, it also tastes a bit like halva.
I like halva a lot, though, so it's kind of got the consistency of it.
Yeah, it's a little more powdery.
People always hand me foods going, go on, try that. Like, bisexual, eat everything, it's fine. You know, I enjoy all sorts of things.
Well, I'm straight and I eat most things as well, apart from tomatoes.
Tomatoes? How can you... That's like...
No, I eat tomatoes, but just not when they're in a cheese sandwich raw.
Okay, so not tomatoes in a cheese sandwich.
That's
just
it, and,
draw the line.
And licorice.
Okay. I quite like
licorice in a cheese sandwich as well.
That's disgusting.
Mm. Well, we have movement. We've got things happening.
Paper.
It's got a piece of paper. It says.
What does it say?
Oh, I don't know. I
Bill
can't read.
Man.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. That's good. I forgot about stew.
Lovely, lovely, lovely stew.
You know, we're informal here. Now you could just come in and talk to
us. Is that all right?
Of course.
Okay. Well,
not much. Not too much.
Okay. I'll
just
go.
Just the right amount. No. Yeah. Just roll with it. It's all good. It's a safe place.
That's all I needed to say, really.
That's fine. It's okay. Nice. It's nice that you waste.
We need to get them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
But I'm very happy
basically
to run
away. Told to get the fuck out.
Yeah. Exactly. We're
not. I think I've over liberally been saying.
That's not right. Everyone can get a shake of the stick. Is that a thing?
No, it's not.
It's not all, for fuck's sake.
It's not a good thing.
Now creating maxims out of thin air.
I think shake of the stick is...
I thought it was one.
Maybe it was a rain stick. Because if you're just shaking a normal stick, you're getting nothing from that.
They don't work, rain sticks. I had one when I was a kid. Never rained.
Rain sticks.
Oh. Aren't they meant to just make the noise of rain?
Yeah, but also to summon rain magically.
If you've got a good one.
It's sympathetic magic.
If you're
magic,
grade 8 rain stick, you can summon the rain.
Do you know what they used to do to try and get it to rain in Lake Titicaca?
Yes.
Yeah. What do they do?
No, I don't know.
They got these frogs, right, which are the best named frogs on the planet, because they're called scrotum frogs. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of those.
Yeah, yeah. They're massive frogs. They've got, like, a huge skin surface area because they use it to breathe with underwater. And they put them in pots and leave them out in the sun. And the noise they make as they scream to death is meant to cause it to rain. That's fun, isn't it? Nowadays, they get those same frogs and make them into frog frappes.
Oh, that's good. That's much better, isn't it?
Exactly.
At least you're eating.
At least you can have one.
Indeed.
At least you're drinking the frog.
I don't know if this is true, but you guys will probably know it because you seem very knowledgeable about frogs and history. But, there's a sort of like an urban myth that there's a kid that you could put a straw up a frog's arse and then it would sort of inflate like a balloon, and then if you sort of threw it against a wall or something. I mean, there's a lot of things going on here.
Yeah.
You throw it against a wall and then it would explode.
There is a thing where I think crows can peck out frogs' livers and that causes them to explode somehow.
But the straw up the arse element for me is key.
Okay, that's the thing.
We need to focus on what's important.
You're getting
here.
Confused between frogs and Capri Sun.
Yes, no, that is what I've done.
Oh, I knew it was me thinking
of
my pet
Capri Suns at home.
Oh, they drink that in the jungle.
Conga.
In the Congo.
Can't even get the
Umbongo
catchphrase
can't
right.
Even get the
fucking rhymes.
Fucking catchphrase right. What's worse is that I put my head down so I don't look at you, but I can still hear you.
Umbongo.
And that upsets me. It upsets me that I can't shut out the voices.
How racist were those fucking drinks? Kiora and Umbongo.
It's too orangey for crows.
Why were they racist?
It's too orangey for crows.
Yeah.
Kiora.
Oh, I guess.
I'm aware of that advert because of Spaced, and that's the only time I've ever seen
it. It used to be on the cinema all the fucking time, man.
It was the cinema ad. Yeah, yeah.
Nah.
It's great. Great bit of animation. If a bit
racist.
A bit racist.
Yeah, a lot of.
And Umbongo, they drink it in the Congo. Now, that's just flat out imperialist nonsense.
It's just animals in the Congo.
Yeah, but it's like, you know.
But I don't think the animals that they were depicting or actually live in the Congo.
No.
That's the trouble. I think there's anaconda, which only lives in South America.
Yeah, it's just like snakes and tigers.
Mm, oh, well, we're all learning something today.
Indeed, sorry.
Indeed.
No, it's good.
Let's not be funny. Let's just be pedantic.
Well,
that's what matters.
What, you? Never. Let's just carry on with what we know.
Yeah.
It's hard to be amused or amusing when you've been awake for...
I think it's easier, to be honest. You guys are being much funnier now than I've ever known you.
Really?
That's, yeah.
You see, you say that, and I can't help but disagree. Sorry, agree. That's what I meant. Sorry, write that down.
I'm not writing that down. It sucks.
What does that mean?
So
it means we've got
to... You've got to get Stu in here because...
Really I know good. What that means now. I just don't... I was like, oh, no, coffee. Coffee. Is that right?
She's
like, no,
giving
right,
the tea
good.
Sign through the glass saying, get these boring, boring comedians out and get the
well,
cool
we'll go
in.
Then. You two
oh,
go
right.
the
right. You said it. You said it, Izzy.
No, no, it's all right. I've got, I'm going to go to the Hackney Attic if anyone wants to join me later.
Oh, yeah, what's going on?
Stand-up tragedy. There you go.
Oh, yeah, we had to.
Pickering's in.
Yeah. And
he
also,
was here this morning. Yeah. He really saved us.
We spoke to Basil Brush.
Wow. I'm doing stand-up tragedy, but just a normal gig.
Yeah.
And just doing a set.
And if you do like history facts, zlistdeadlist.com is a podcast which you should listen to after this one's finished.
And if you want to find a lot of stuff out, I recommend Google or Bing.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Just for anything, really.
Just Bing it.
Yeah.
BBC Bing Sport it. For the football results. And
not from the
UFC, Guardian. And the Daily Mail, just to get different perspectives.
Is there a big UFC? There's a big UFC fight tonight, then.
Yeah, Ronda Rousey, who's you just check her out. She's awesome. But scary as hell.
All right, in that case, what I'll do is to make the crossover as nice as possible. I think I'm going to play another current release song. So obviously, I'm going to go with the Young Ones and Cliff Richard. We've not played that yet.
What?
So let's do that, and we will see you on the other side of this song.
I Cheerio. Zedlist.com.
Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.
Let's be honest, we stink. Hello, my name's Paul Gannon, it is 6:15, and with me is my darling assistant...
It's Eli Silverman. Hello. I'm
Hello.
Still here.
How are you doing?
I stink.
Apparently, we are it's funky quite the grotty monkeys.
It's funky like a funky sock.
It's like uptown funk.
It's downtown funk.
I'm not
it's
with the kids.
Crosstown funk.
We have two new sparkling guests who have walked into our piss mist of a room to. You know, just basically hold their breath and try and talk at the same time for as long as possible.
I need some of that stuff that forensic pathologists have that you put on your top lip.
I actually have. We have. You can spray this throat spray.
That's
across
not
your
help,
nose
is it?
If it helps. I don't know. It's minty.
No, that
I don't
just
know if I like the sound of that. It's difficult. Maybe your listeners could sort of visualise. It's like in a cartoon. You know in the Beano or the Dandy where they have a fight and you just see fists and arms flying out of a central cloud.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of chewable.
Yeah. I'm having trouble seeing the corners of the room.
I have the same problem, but for completely different reasons. We're welcomed in the studio by the fantastic Phil Mann and Stuart Goldsmith. A round of applause.
Well done. Thank you. Thanks for having us. Well done for your getting this far. Do you think you're going to make it? Do you feel positive?
There's no doubt.
Where are we?
There's no doubt, Stuart.
No doubt.
Even if he fucking passes out,
which is likely.
How many hours have you got left?
Five, six.
It's easy.
I'll be propping it. Even if he passes out, I'll be propping you up meat puppet.
We've done 22.
I'll be manipulating your body.
You could just make his diaphragm go.
Yeah, I'll be punching him in the stomach till he's.
None of this is acceptable to me. These terms
You had me at meat puppet.
Yeah, the meat puppet thing really doesn't sell the concept.
Of what?
You sticking your hand up me.
What doesn't sell it?
You sticking your hand up me.
What do you want me to call it? Meat marionette?
I would rather you didn't say anything.
A meat marionette does sound a lot less sexually aggressive.
It does, doesn't it?
Right. If it's
what about
an
meat, meat fraggle?
All right, I'll take it.
You take meat fraggle. Mm.
I would have also gone with pork muppet.
Brilliant.
But, you know, we'll see.
Come on now, that's going down.
That's not even a Gannonism either.
No, that's just your finger just mouse. I'm sorry, I'm
finger mouse.
This game.
Brilliant.
So, gents, how's life? At this point, questions are facile.
Well, really good. My life's great. We've just been in Mark Watson's...
Oh, yeah, what's it like in there? What's going on?
27-hour extravaganza.
Does it stink?
It smells equally as bad.
Well, I don't think it hit me that hard. There's a lot more people, but there is more ventilation.
And this is more concentrated.
Myself and my fiancé, the lovely Saskia Anderson.
I know.
I just slammed that puppy down. Clang. I got engaged.
Is that also how you asked her? You slammed it down and went, take it. You know you want it.
No. Can I tell you about my engagement?
Please do.
We
need some romance.
Super gay. Okay, so you need to say... And I should point out, Saskia is a lady.
No, and I saw her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm completely going with you for the next part of this story.
The engagement itself was phenomenally gay. We were in San Francisco,
nice.
Quite a gay city. In the Castro, the gayest bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And specifically, we were outside the former site of Castro Cameras, which is where the first gay elected official in the whole of American history, Harvey Milk played by Sean Penn in the film.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
Castro Cameras used to be his base of operations, and it's now a human rights centre. And I proposed outside of there because she loved them gays. And then we just thought the values that Harvey proposed was a proponent of, I should say, are things like love and peace and tolerance and justice and respect and amazing stuff like that. And also, she loved them gays.
Oh.
So outside, I got on one knee before I got on one knee, it was really fun because I'd got a whole speech planned and I forgot the whole speech. And she said, let's go and get some food. And I said, but let's get some food in a minute. And she said, why are you crying? And I got on one knee and I said, will you marry me? And she said yes. And then a man, naked save for a golden sock about his cock, walked past, and she was like, and this is the ring. And I wish I thought of that. That would have been so great.
Beautiful. So what was it that drove you to make the engagement announcement? Was it may as well, or was it this is it? This is, I know this is the one.
Well, I'll be honest, I'm desperate for a child, and I reckon she needed to get a bit of ring on it.
So she obviously wears the pants in this relationship, right?
Well,
your hormones are all... Jigglypuff.
Yeah, my hormones are all Jigglypuff.
Yeah.
And I think I couldn't have put it better myself. her brother-in-law, who's a lovely Welsh man called Giles, he put it best. She does a lovely impression of him, which I shall try to faithfully replicate. He rang her and left a little message saying, Sarsky, what it is, comes a time in everyone's life, you know, we've all got to make a choice, and it's a great thing. And I just thought, it's a really, just sort of gentle, rambling way of looking at it. I'm super excited, and I would recommend anyone considering it. I would totally recommend you propose, because it's made me love her more, it's made the whole thing better, and it's really exciting and brilliant.
I'll be doing number two.
You're having a shit as you stand.
Yeah,
is that
also
really
is on the cards. That is on the cards.
From this. That was sweet.
No,
and now
I just meant the girl I'm with, I'm thinking, will be wife number two. I've already been married.
You've been married? I have no idea.
Like, and it was weird, kind of similar-esque story, because I proposed to her in Malibu on the seafront.
Oh.
And it was midnight on New Year's Eve, and we drove down, because our house was right near the sea. I got down on one knee, and she said, yeah, and then it was all beautiful. And he goes, yeah, but don't tell my dad, and put it back in the box and in the drawer. So that was
How long did your wedding last? How long did your marriage last?
Well, we're together best part of 10 years, but I think the marriage part was like the last three or four of that.
Okay.
Because we got together really young. We were like 18, I think, we went to university.
Yeah, yeah.
And so you get together, you develop a life, then you realise as you develop that life, you both have completely different social networks.
Yes, you wanted
networks.
To wait until you were 37, like I shrewdly did.
You're not 37, are you?
I'm 37, mate. Thank you.
You handsome son of a bitch. How dare you walk in here with your gorgeous girl and your face.
It's all going rather well for guys.
And your romantic stories. This makes me sick. Go on, yeah.
Can I just clear something up?
No.
You haven't actually proposed to number two yet.
Is she listening to this? Probably not.
That's not what she wants to fucking hear,
no,
is it?
She, like most of the people in the world, don't particularly like my brand of comedy. So she stays away.
But this is exactly what you mean. You're both adults. She knows she doesn't like your comedy. You've made that decision. You're prepared to go down that path together.
Which means I don't have to try and make her laugh.
Very good.
So it's all good. I can just
Very
be normal
good.
Old Paul Gannon.
Phil, are you married?
No.
Would you like to be?
No.
Can we arrange it tonight?
Which is ridiculous, is that I've met a girl that lives on a different continent.
Oh!
This is a stupid idea.
Is it an internet love?
Which continent?
America.
I was hoping for something like Antarctica. Yeah. I mean, that would have been great.
That would have been great, but she would be mostly...
Where in America does she live?
In New York.
Hang on, this is all looking up.
That's a great town.
Yeah.
It's very dirty, New York.
It's not as dirty as it used to be.
It's a filthy city.
But there's Spider-Man.
Yeah. Ghostbusters.
There is literally Spider-Man.
Central Park.
Yeah.
Die Hard 3.
Let's just name landmarks.
You can go through Central Park on a horse.
Thank you guys for reminding me.
Like in True Lies. That's in True Lies, isn't it? Do you go through Central Park on a horse?
Is it set in New York? Because he knows to ride a horse, but I don't know if it's
Oh, maybe it's like a Mountie. Maybe they're in Canada.
It's Die Hard 3 with the bombs.
Yes, that's in New York. Summer in the City.
I think that's
as I was walking through St. Ives, I met a man with seven wives. Seven wives with seven sacks. Seven sacks with seven cats. Seven cats with seven kittens. Kittens, cats, sacks, and wives. How many were going to St. Ives? The answer is Eli?
None.
No, it's one.
One. Just him. One. He was going.
Yeah. Sorry. He was going two sometimes.
That's why if I'd
although,
written Die Hard 3...
That's an annoying riddle because he could have met those people whilst they were travelling in the same direction.
Yeah,
they might have stopped for a break and walked past them.
Absolutely right. Yeah.
At this point, I would like to go into my talk about Die Hard 5.
No, Phil, I was going to try and warn you. As soon as you said Die Hard, I was going to try and pull...
I'm so sorry to everyone.
He's obsessed with that fucking
thing. I hate it.
So hang on, 4.0 was the one with Oliphant as the baddie, and he stands on the plane. Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. I went in with very low expectations, and I enjoyed
it. Wasn't that bad.
And 5 is your one with your faceless, non-charismatic action movie that's the new action movie guy.
Yeah, yeah. It's
what's
the
his
one
name?
In Russia.
Jay Phoenix.
Jay Courtney.
Jai Courtney.
The new Kyle Reese.
He's like Channing Tatum with no charisma, which is like nothing.
I think Channing Tatum's got a bit of charisma.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. I love
Magic
Channing Tatum.
Magic Mike and 22 Jump
Absolutely
Street.
Absolutely right. It was 21 Jump Street completely converted me. Have you seen 21 Jump Street?
It's a beautiful film.
It is so much warmer and funnier and sweeter than
you
has any right
it to be.
Me.
Yeah.
And it made me get Channing Tatum. And then I suddenly looked back at Channing Tatum movies and went, oh, yeah, actually, he is good. He's good. And but Jai Courtney is like Channing Tatum with nothing to him.
Frustrating to me is I've got 22 Jump Street.
It's a great movie. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen 21.
Don't watch 22 until you've seen 21.
What people are saying.
Because half the comedy in 22 is based on what if you've
90%
seen 21.
Where can I get
21? They took it off fucking Netflix.
Did they take it off?
Yeah.
I was about to suggest Netflix. You can illegally download things from the internet.
Yeah, I believe
that. You've got yourself a DVD player, mate. You want to get yourself a DVD player?
I'll get you. They don't put fucking DVD players in computers anymore.
This is news to me. They don't put
disk drives in computers.
There's no disk drive.
It's not a thing that happens.
Like, I've got a MacBook Pro, right? It's about 3 years old. It's got a disk drive.
Yeah.
Do they not do that anymore?
That's dead weight. You're just carrying that around.
Yeah, do you know what? I never use it.
Yeah, exactly.
I use it as a little tray. You can balance a thing in it, eject it, and then use it as a little side coffee holder.
Don't it always seem to be that you don't know what you've got till it's gone?
Yeah. If you've got some DNA and stuff, you can...
Yeah, pop a little test tube in the hole of the CD.
The important thing to mention here is Die Hard 5 has some proper structural problems, that book. I'm not going to get into it.
Well, let's get into it. Come on.
Go away!
It's the structural problems alarm.
Seriously, Paul, why would you leave your phone on?
Because
we're broadcasting. I mean, it's literally the
people listening to this are thinking, oh, it's live, it's very exciting, the phone's going off, the phone's ringing, it's like a telethon. Where's Mike Reed? Oh, there he is. That's Ghostwatch. I am confused.
There's a falsehood at the beginning of that.
What, Ghostwatch?
People are listening to this, you said.
No, do you know... Wait.
Hey, boys, this is a 27-hour record-breaking podcast. It's presumably being live-streamed as well.
Yeah, it's live-streamed.
Do you have the technology to find out how many people are listening right now?
I don't.
I don't know.
I'm looking. She's shaking her head. No one's listening.
So could we, at the end of this process, could you seal this in concrete and it would never listen to by anyone?
That would be deliciously pointless, right?
Yes, we could.
Oh, we got to do that. Time capsule.
Time capsule. In 27 years, they can dig it up and destroy it.
Or in the year 2525, if and only if man is still alive, right? Then they might get something out of it. They might go, who are these ugly, talentless people prattling on for 27 hours?
In the future, can they hear if people are ugly?
Let's just presume they can.
They can scan it. They've got voice recognition technology that's so good. They can actually engineer the whole shape of your whole body.
That is reasonable. If no one's done that in a sci-fi film, they should. Now, have you seen Jupiter Ascending?
No, I didn't. I was kind of put off by the reviews.
I haven't seen it either. I'm going to see it because it's a sci-fi film, so I'm going to see it. But, okay. I'm aware of this being the Geekatorium. I felt we should steer towards geekier things.
You know
what?
I really hated Matrix 2 and 3. I just thought, fucking
But what did you think of Cloud Atlas?
Cloud Atlas? Yeah.
Cloud Atlas was great, unfilmable, and they pulled it off.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Beautiful. It's got its flaws, because it's like one of those things that what works in your imagination when you read it doesn't translate
I haven't read it, so I've got no imagination.
Well... about that book.
Yeah, well, my favorite, I'm glad you qualified that.
My favourite genre, is a genre that I'm faintly geeky about, because I'm not like, I mean, we all know Richard Sandling. And he used to refer to me, he said I was the sort of person who at school would have been called a double agent. I hang out with the geeky kids, but I could sort of pass amongst the cool kids. So I can't count myself as a proper geek, because even though I play and listen to podcasts about the game Android Netrunner, for example, I can't quote the cards.
No,
so
no,
you know what I mean? I'm always like, into it and then not into it enough to be in the game.
Geek just means you have a passion for something. It's not who you are, it's a facet of what you do.
Okay.
So you can be a geek about things without having to be a geek.
So with that in mind, heists are my favourite genre.
I love a heist.
Who doesn't
best
love a heist?
Heist?
What's your best heist film?
What's the one with Michael Caine and Shirley MacLaine? That was remade recently with Colin Firth. Bollocks, what's it called?
Oh, I don't know. I like the sound of that.
I want to call it... It's not this, but it's got a name like Tom Bowler. Oh, you know what? The internet is literally right here.
I like the original Getaway.
Yes, very nice. And what about Thomas Crown?
Yeah, that's good.
Both the original and the remake.
They're both quite pleasing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen The Inside Man, Spike Lee film?
Yes, I like that as well. Yeah.
Have you not seen it, Paul?
Denzel.
There's only so many hours in the day, right? And I'm a lover man.
It's Denzel. Yeah. Brilliant. It's a perfect heist idea.
Yeah.
Beautifully orchestrated.
It's really good.
I haven't seen it.
No, it's really good.
It's sensational.
Because it's sleazy, isn't it?
Gambit.
Oh, Gambit. I haven't seen
beautiful
Gambit.
Beautiful film.
What, in the oven?
Very good.
He sneezes at the end and it's in the oven. I've given away the plot of the film without...
Oh, you mean Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3?
That's the one.
That is a fucking brilliant film.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Oh, yeah, it is a heist.
They remade that. Walter Matthau.
They remade it, didn't they?
Yeah, with Denzel Washington. It was shit. Pointless. Mm-hmm. And who do they have as the baddie in the
remake? John Travolta.
What a load of camp-ass crap.
John Travolta. John Travolta is interesting because he's got the most circular head and also the most angular head at the same time. I don't know how he does it.
Do you know who was the baddie in the original? Robert Shaw.
Yeah.
And that's a fucking brilliant. One of the best ever 70s. Now. The soundtrack, the direction, the acting. I fucking love that film. It's my top five.
I've got to do this. Bear with me 2 seconds.
FUBAR Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge. Raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.rednoseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast.